The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network.
The Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Oh, hi. Before we start the show, it's time for this week's Bubble Genius Showcase item of the week. March is all about Easter and Passover at BubbleGenius.com. Head on over to Bubble Genius and pick up their My Ass Hurts Easter gift bag. It's a basket filled with Easter candy-shaped soaps. One bunny's lost his ears, the other bunny's got his tail bitten off. Hence the joke. All rendered in vegan soap. You even get magnificent pastel eggs and flower soaps. Only $15 at BubbleGenius.com, but if you use our promo code Bob and Chez, that's BOBANDCHEZ, you'll get 15% off your entire order only at BubbleGenius.com. And now let's start the show.
Recorded live in the USA and covering the whole wide world, this is the Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Right on!
With Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
It was not written for chiefs.
Hear me. Hear this! Among my people, we carry many such words as this from many lands, many worlds. Many are equally good and are as well respected. But wherever we have gone, no words have said this thing of importance in quite this way. Look at these three words, written larger than the rest, with a special pride never written before or since. Tall words, proudly saying, "We the people." That which you called Eid Plebnista was not written for the chiefs or the kings, or the warriors, or the rich, or the powerful, but for all the people. Down the centuries, you have slurred the meaning out of the words, "We the people of the United States," in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty. To ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution, these words and the words that follow were not written only for the Yangs, but for the Kongs as well.
The Kongs?
They must apply to everyone, or they mean nothing. Do you understand?
I do not fully understand.
The best music on the best station.
The Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
It is Tuesday, March 22, 2016, and this is the Bob and Chez Show presented by BubbleGenius.com on William Shatner's birthday.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah. Hence,
how would I?
Hear me! Hear this! I'm Bob, that's Chez right there. We're brought to you by BubbleGenius.com. It's the best damn soap in the world. Also brought to you by the Bowen Law Group and attorney Charles J. Bowen. If you need a lawyer, better call Bo or head over to thebowenlawgroup.com/Bob and Chez. Or you can just click the link to the podcast page. That's the easiest way to do it. That's at BobSeska.com, don't you know? Okay, so right off the bat, I guess we're going to talk about Brussels, which seems to be dominating the news, and rightfully so today. Yeah. It's like Brussels and then whatever the hell Trump said about Brussels. Those are the dueling news stories today, somehow.
Yeah.
And I wonder how often cable news is going, this guy Trump, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. Probably not at all.
Well, that's half the problem, and that's something that we've talked about here for I don't know how long, yeah. Which is, it bothers me that someone like, say, I'm just pulling this name out of my ass, somebody like Jake Tapper,
yeah,
who's a really smart guy, can sit there and have a conversation with Trump or read off a Trump statement and not like look into the camera and say, "What the fuck is the matter with you people? Are you really considering voting for this idiot?
Do you understand?"
Yeah.
No.
This guy is a moron. Yeah. I mean, you know, not to get jump in already, but please tell me that you read everything that came out of that Washington Post editorial meeting yesterday.
That editorial meeting with Washington Post and Donald Trump.
It's astonishing.
Yeah.
It is just, it's like talking to a toddler.
Yeah, it really is.
He knows nothing.
Yeah, he doesn't know anything.
He knows nothing about anything.
Yeah.
And he hit on one of the women. He called her beautiful.
Oh,
he hit on Karen Atiyah, who's one of the opinion editors. He went off, you know, that thing that I posted to Banter. He went off on like a 5-minute ramble about his hands.
Good God.
He talked about you know, buildings that are being built. They asked him a question about whether or not he would be willing to use nuclear warheads or use nuclear weapons. Pardon me.
Yeah.
Tactical nukes in the fight against ISIS. And he changed the subject and said, you know, there are a lot of really beautiful people in this room. There are a lot of people. Can I get some names so I know who I'm talking to? Didn't answer. That was his answer.
Yeah, that's right. He's like, just as we've said all along, he's like the kid in high school who doesn't read the assignment and then has to come in and his way through the oral exam.
That's it, exactly. You know what I noticed that's funny? I always joke about the sort of superlative adjectives that he throws out instead of in place of actually presenting policy proposals. He just says, you know, it's going to be excellent. It's going to be beautiful and fabulous. It's going to be really... His other favorite word, count the number of times he says it at any point, very. It's very, very. And the other thing, believe me.
Yeah.
Believe me. He has to end every single sentence with that. Yep. No, I'm not going to tell you what the hell I'm thinking. I'm not going to tell you how, you know, I'm not going to give you a plan. I'm going to give you a goal, not a plan. Mm-hmm. And all I got for you then, if you argue with me, is believe me. But oh, okay.
Believe
me.
In
that case, well, crap. Yeah. And as I wrote yesterday, he does like actually reading when he speaks instead of listening to it. Listening to it's bad enough, but seeing it actually printed out, it's a riot because he just watching sort of how his mind, his idiot mind jumps, you know, does these verbal gymnastics. It goes from like one unnecessary tangent, afterthought, or interjection to like the next.
Oh yeah, totally. Here's that line.
He just stops. He goes, by the way, he loves. That's another one.
By the way,
right in the middle of talking about something. By the way, and then goes off on a totally different tangent.
Yeah, well, the whole idea of saying "by the way" is it's supposed to be related somehow to what you just said.
No,
it's not supposed to be just some random other thought. You don't say, "Oh, we're talking about nuclear weapons." By the way, did you know Easter's right around the corner? This is nothing. One has nothing to do with the other. So here's that exchange, by the way, on nuclear weapons. See, now that was the actual proper use of the phrase, by the way. This editor for the Washington Post said to Trump, you mentioned a few minutes earlier here that you would knock ISIS. You've mentioned it many times. You've also mentioned the risk of putting American troops in a danger area. If you could substantially reduce the risk of harm to ground troops, would you use a battlefield nuclear weapon to take out ISIS? And Trump replies, I don't want to start the process of nuclear, he says here.
I don't counterpunch. And then he goes back into himself on the campaign trail.
I know. He says, remember the one thing that everybody has said. I'm a counterpuncher. Rubio hit me. Bush hit me. When I said low energy, he's a low energy individual. He hit me first. What is this in second grade?
Yes, he is.
I spent, by the way, he spent $18 million worth of negative ads on me. There's the by the way again, of course, right there in the middle of the thing. That's putting, and then it says in brackets, muffled.
Yeah, so it's like, I wonder.
That's putting. Yeah. That is about, and the Washington Post response, this is about ISIS. You would not use a tactical nuclear weapon against ISIS. And then crosstalk, and then Trump says, I'll tell you one thing. This is a very good-looking group of people here. Could I just go around so I know who the hell I'm talking to?
That's just astonishing. Give me one second here because it's just too good. Let me read the quote. I promise I'll read it quickly, unlike him. Let me read the quote. This is the quote about his hands.
Okay.
So basically, Fred Hyatt just brings up. He says he doesn't even ask him about his hands.
Yeah.
He just says, "Look, you know what? You're a smart person. You were well educated, and here you are on the campaign trail talking about the size of your hands and your." Basically, Fred Hyatt didn't use that word. Yeah. And this is what he says. He says, Look at my hands. They're fine. Nobody other than Graydon Carter years ago used to use that. My hands are normal hands. During a debate, he was losing, and he said, oh, he has small hands, and therefore, you know what that means. This was not me. This was Rubio that said that. He has small hands, and you know what that means. Okay, so he started. So what? I said a couple days later, and what happened is I was online shaking hands with supporters, and one of the supporters got up, and he said, Mr. Trump, you have strong hands. You have good-sized hands. And then another one would say, you have great hands, Mr. Trump. I had no idea. I said, what do you mean? He said, I thought you were, like, deformed. I thought you had small hands. I had 50 people. Is that a correct statement? I mean, people are writing, how are Mr. Trump's hands? My hands are fine. You know, my hands are normal. Slightly large, actually. In fact, I buy a slightly smaller than large glove, okay? But I did this because everybody was saying to me, oh, your hands are very nice. They are normal. So Rubio, in a debate, said because he had nothing else to say, now I was hitting him pretty hard. He wanted to do his Don Rickles stuff, and it didn't work out. Obviously, it didn't work too well. But one of the things he said was, he has small hands, and therefore you know what that means. He has small something else. You can look it up. I didn't say it. That's it.
That is hysterical.
That was his answer.
Oh my God.
And you know what? No, I take that back. It wasn't an answer. There wasn't an answer to a question. That was a soliloquy.
And you know what the Washington Post should have said in response? I do not fully understand.
Exactly.
Can you repeat that? All right, let me go over this again about my hands.
But yeah, but look at that. That's such a great, the tactical nuke thing is such a great example.
Yeah.
Because they ask him a legitimate question, and he somehow pivots back to talking about himself and how great he is on the campaign trail.
Yeah, I mean, again, the person asks the question again. Would you not use a tactically nuclear weapon against ISIS? And he says, I tell you one thing, this is a very good-looking group of people here. Good God. And this guy wants to be your commander in chief.
Exactly. This idiot, this blithering narcissistic idiot.
Yeah. And so meanwhile, we've got these this pair of horrendous terrorist attacks in Brussels specifically, but one in the airport and one in the metro, the subway
station. Is there any other place in Belgium?
Just because it's just Brussels. Mm. Brussels is the only place. Isn't Amsterdam?
Wow, Amsterdam really
is Amsterdam is the Netherlands, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, I just want to make
I do
be
get
clear
them confused. No. I don't. By the way, I don't want to make it sound like I'm making light of this. I'm absolutely not.
No, I mean obviously, 31 people have been killed, 200 wounded. I mean, right there in the check-in line at the airport.
Yep.
I mean, that's terrifying.
And
see
then on
that
the metro.
Scene? Yeah, and then on the metro. Yeah, the metro station, and then to see the pictures though. In that area that we all see that is so familiar, it doesn't matter what airport you're in, it always looks the same. That check-in line with the sort of the seatbelt-like ropes where you have to walk back and forth through the thing, and then you go up and you check your bags, and it's all so familiar, and I do have to admit, there was part of me that looked at that scene and goes, well, I'm not standing in one of those lines again.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's something that I've been talking about for 10 years now? With regard to the whole liquids, bringing water, bottled water and other liquids through security lines, well, they're taking that crap and they're confiscating its security lines. Doesn't stop anyone from lighting off one of those things right there in the security line.
Exactly. Yeah, that's it exactly. I think that's what happened at LAX.
Yeah.
The guy who went on the shooting rampage.
Oh, yeah,
He just didn't go through security. Yep. Was it LAX that happened? Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, it was, where he shot one of the TSA guys.
Yeah, it was right there at the check-in line. Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, this is a horrible, horrible thing. And, you know, I want to get into the religious debate that is occurring online right now all over social media. Everyone's debating, should we blame Islam on all of this? And, you know, I think we both have some choice things to say on that topic. So we'll get to that in a second. But, I mean, you know, just in terms of wrapping up the Trump conversation, two of his tweets today were absolutely horrendous. I mean, this guy, again, is the front runner for the Republican nomination. I don't care how many times Reince Priebus or one of the other Republican members of Congress slams Donald Trump or says he's maybe not the guy. It doesn't matter. This is the guy who's running their party right now. He is ostensibly the leader of the Republican Party as their presidential front runner. He said here on Twitter, Obama and all others have been so weak and so politically correct that terror groups are forming and getting stronger. Shame. So it's Obama's fault.
Of course it is. It always is. Everything is.
And then he said here, this is his first, I believe this is his first reaction after word came down of the terrorist attack in Brussels. He said on Twitter, I have proven to be far more correct about terrorism than anybody, and it's not even close. Hopefully Arizona and Utah will be voting for me today.
Oh, Jesus.
Right. You know what? You know what Donald. I think is important, yeah. Especially hearing, I think that, I mean, it won't affect him at all.
Yeah.
But I think that the transcript of that post interview should just, everyone should read it.
Yeah.
And it should change a million. It should change everybody's minds.
Yeah.
It really should, because really what that shows is that this idiot is basically Kanye West.
Oh, yeah, totally.
He is. He is somebody who is given credit as someone who's really bright.
Yep.
But really, he's just a petulent, dumb child. And, yeah. And you know, and that's something that nobody's really highlighted yet. Trump is not smart. Trump's a moron.
Yeah.
Just because Trump is savvy doesn't mean he's not a fucking idiot.
Well, he's savvy at doing what he does, which is
he's media
promoting savvy. Promoting Trump. Yeah.
I mean, so he's promotionally savvy. Absolutely.
He knows how to be on a reality show. He knows how to run a business, I guess, considering that he really didn't build much of his own business. He just inherited a lot of money.
That's the thing, though. He didn't. He had a lot handed to him. And I think it was John Oliver who made the really, really good point. And I'm glad that somebody did that when Trump estimates his wealth, what he does is he estimates the power, the authority, the money-making ability in his name alone.
Yeah.
That's where it comes from. Mm-hmm. You know, as far as he's concerned, that name, and that's all he's ever done. You know, these buildings, he just slaps his name on them. He makes deals, he puts his name on them, and that makes him seem more powerful than he actually is. Most of his businesses have gone under.
Yeah, I mean, frankly, he's no better or worse at business and marketing himself than Gene Simmons. I mean, for God's sake, I mean,
exactly.
like the members of KISS, they're really good at sticking their names on just about everything. You can get a KISS coffin.
Yeah, exactly.
But that doesn't make them presidential material. You know, you're not going to run, oh, Paul Stanley for president. Okay, sure. Yeah, no problem.
There are some people who would probably say that's a good idea.
Those Simmons, like, Stanley.
Crazy KISS people.
2016. Jesus Christ. But, so that's all to say that Donald Trump knows a lot about whatever is in his immediate wheelhouse and always has been, the art of the deal and all that. But at the same time, he didn't know anything about being president. And he thinks he does just because he watches cable news and is hobnobbed with some presidents in his past. But the fact of the matter is, he doesn't know anything about foreign policy, nor does he care to learn. He's hearing crap. I mean, didn't he say that everything he's learned about politics, he's learned on cable news? I think that makes
He watches he watches quote unquote the shows.
Watches the shows.
Yeah. And he talks to himself because, you know, he has a very great brain.
That's right. So, I mean, do we really want Donald Trump sitting in the Oval Office when something like Brussels comes down? I mean, that's just that's the real question. Do you really want that? Do you want a guy who, when asked about tactical nuclear weapons, these are small-scale nuclear weapons used on battlefields, or intended for use on battlefields, that he's like, well, hey, look at this room. Oh, what a bunch of good-looking people here in this room.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the guy. That's totally the guy we want with his finger on the button. An effing clown with green hair and an orange face.
Yeah.
Yeah, who sells steaks and vodka with his name on it. Can't even run a business without folding or making wild claims that never come true, like Trump University.
Absolutely.
This is the guy that Republicans want to be president at this time.
Yep.
And it's only because, and the only reason they've been able to sell it is because they've spent the last 8 years saying that Barack Obama is the worst president ever.
Yeah, and Donald Trump's entire candidacy is the polar opposite. It is the pendulum swinging back in response to that.
Yeah, exactly.
Like the farthest you can go away from the Barack Obama presidency.
But it's really,
and for mostly white people who really, really love Trump, this is their chance to assert themselves again at the highest office in the world, over a changing country and a changing planet.
Yeah, and it's all based on nonsense.
Yeah.
It's all based on propaganda that's been furthered by AM talk radio and Fox News and all the rest. And it's built up to this point where everyone supporting Trump are just so full of anti-Obama derangement that they'll take anything. Again, there's no better context for him to be reporting or actually commenting on what's happening in Brussels. Just emphasizes how dangerous he really is. And it's just it's only going to get worse from here. And I'm really looking forward to the fact that the convention is really not too far off. I mean, it's July 18th,
dude,
I think.
This whole thing can't end soon enough.
I know.
This whole thing. I'm just like, you know. Do we have time? Should we pivot to this for a second?
Well, let's talk about Harry's razors, and then when we're done, we'll get into that. We'll get into how quickly this really, really needs to be over.
And yay!
Some observations about watching CNN last night, right after we talk about this. And, oh, yes, of course. We're going to talk about Harry's razors. The best thing ever. For months now, I'm getting a shave every bit as good as I've ever gotten with the big name brands. Plus, the sting is gone, the sting of those big name prices. I don't have to tell you, $32 for a pack of effing blades? Are you kidding me? That stops right here, right now. Do what I and over a million others have done, men and women alike, make the switch to shaving products from Harry's.com. Harry's started 3 years ago this month. And they saw the insanity of blade prices, so they just bought a factory in Germany that's been making precision blades for over a century. And now those blades go right to you from that factory to your door with no middleman. That's how Harry's took the sting out of blades. Now imagine getting the same great handle that I use. Three of those sweet five-blade cartridges, moisturizing shave cream, and more for just $15 with a money-back satisfaction guarantee. Stand up against overpriced store-bought blades and their protective glass display cases with Harry's razors. Go to harrys.com, enter the promo code BANCBANDC for $5 off your first Harry shave. Plus, you'll be supporting the show by taking good care of your face or your legs, ladies, with Harry's razors. That's HARRYS.com.
The Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Okay, welcome back to our Tuesday show. Yeah, I'm really anxious for all of this to be over. I was watching CNN last night, and I'm just getting to that point again where it occasionally happens where I start looking at cable news and screaming at the TV. I mean, that's why I got into blogging in the first place. It's like, I'm tired of screaming my TV. I might as well write this stuff down. But I was watching the coverage after the one-on-one interviews last night on CNN where Anderson Cooper and Wolf Blitzer interviewed the Republican and Democratic candidates, respectively. The Republicans first, and then Hillary and Bernie. And then they did this sort of post-game thing where John King, the robot John King, and the robot Wolf Blitzer both looked at the map and were talking about the delegate count on each side. And,
yeah, that was just, I can only imagine what that's like.
It was like, yeah.
We bring in now John King. Please talk to us, John King. Well, you know, Wolf, thanks a lot for talking to me. We're going to go over here to the magic wall, and I'm going to touch this thing right here and then move that over. Okay, thanks. Back to you, Wolf. Thank you, John King.
My big takeaway from that segment was, well, CNN has a slightly better big wall than MSNBC has.
Yes.
And it functions a little more smoothly. And that was the lesson I learned from watching it. Other than that, I'm going, oh, look, two droids, and they're talking and saying words, and those words have meaning in some language, not the language the rest of us speak. And I guess it's the least they can say without getting in trouble with Twitter or Facebook.
During actual, like, election night coverage, there are occasions when their magic wall, as I think they've called it, when it actually does come in handy, because yeah. They will actually break down counties, which is cool. You know, it's very cool. But then you've got all the other dumbass bells and whistles.
Yeah. Well, you know, every time I see Steve Kornacki do the magic wall on MSNBC, I get a little anxious because he suddenly has to do math that if I was in his place and had to do that kind of math, like off the top of my head and on live TV, I would completely screw it up. So every time I see him,
what's so funny?
Yeah,
these guys all do this crap now. They've all got this fancy. None of it is better than Russert with his stupid whiteboard.
I know.
None of it is more riveting than that.
Yeah,
because it was so ridiculous, but it was just great.
Yeah, I mean, it was there was something simple about it and straightforward, and it was just it wasn't like fighting the technology, which is every time I see them do that. And it's been a few election cycles so far. I think it started the big digital screen started either. I don't think it was 2004. I definitely think it first started in 2008, and they still haven't been able to get it right, where they'll touch the thing and it doesn't come up, and then they try to write on the board with their finger, and then the writing doesn't work, and it's just a big nightmare. And I just go, just yeah, exactly, get Russert here, dig him up. Hand him a dry erase board and let him do the math with a magic marker.
That would be the most awesome thing. Seriously, for election, you know, election 2016, the big surprise at NBC News is that they've dug up Tim Russert.
We brought back
Tim's
Russert.
Tim's here for us right now. They like hung his whiteboard around like his, you know, whatever's left of him to run his neck.
That's right. To tell
we're
us
going
about
to Tim Russert right now. Tim, what do you have to say? And you know what? He'll still be more interesting than Luke Russert.
There's still a little time. I mean, MSNBC's election coverage has already started, so they can actually go out. By the time prime time rolls around, I'm sure they can have Tim Russert dug out of the ground, propped up in that studio with a dry erase board.
Somewhere Andy Lack is like downtown trying to get a, you know, an order of exhumation, screaming at some poor schlub.
It'll be like Weekend at Russert's. It'll be like exactly. Steve Kornacki and Chuck Todd will be behind the scenes with like little ropes and everything, and they put like a pair of sunglasses on him sideways.
Yep.
Give him sort of a smirky look on his face.
Now we're going to go to Tim Russert, who's water skiing at this moment. dragging him behind a boat.
Yeah, exactly. And then he just, at one point he just washes up on the beach. Yep. After falling off the boat.
You see, like they pull out to like a four shot to go to commercial, and just as they're pulling out, like this, the body of Russert just tips over and falls out from behind the desk. We'll be right back.
Oh my God.
You know, it's honestly, it's too bad Russert didn't work for CNN, because they would hologram him.
Oh my God! Yeah,
they would totally like they do at like they do for Tupac at Coachella.
Yeah,
Tupac's hologram shows up.
And what they need to do is they need to get a hologram of Tim Russert and then a hologram of the late Tom Brokaw. Oh wait, he's still alive. Tom Brokaw's still alive, I'm told.
Later on, Wolf Blitzer will be having a conversation with Abraham Lincoln.
Exactly. So a few other things we want to talk about. Of course, Alex Jones thinks that Brussels is a false flag.
Shocking.
Yeah, there's a big shocker.
Didn't he call it the ultimate false
flag? It's the ultimate false flag. We're going to take it.
Asshole.
I know. We're going to take a short break and come back and talk about whether or not this was indeed a false flag right after this. Okay, let's talk about supporting independent media. For only $1 a month, you can help finance the Bob and Chez Show at patreon.com/Bob and Chez. That's 12 cents per show. Go now to patreon.com/Bob and Chez. That's patreon.com/Bob and Chez, and sign up for $1 a month, $5 a month, $10 a month, or $15 a month, or whatever you can afford. If you sign up for $5 or more, you'll get special Patreon-only shows like our post-mortem wrap-up show, the Not Safe for Work after-party show, and commercial-free, unbleeped versions of the free Tuesday and Thursday shows. Most of all, you'll be supporting a totally independent podcast not affiliated with corporate media. And if we reach our $7,500 per month goal, we'll bring you new shows 5 days a week, Mondays through Fridays. That's patreon.com/Bob and Chez, or click the Patreon link at bobsesca.com. Let's do this thing.
Shove Bob and Chez into your pants and haul them around with you wherever you go. Subscribe to the Bob and Chez Show in the podcast section on iTunes.
Oh, yes, the second half of today's show is brought to you by the BobSesca.com Amazon link. If you shop at Amazon, enter the site using our link just below the logo at BobSesca.com, and we get a small commission from everything you buy. It costs you nothing and helps support the show. By the way, way behind on our quota for this month at the Amazon link, so please, if you want to go shopping, don't forget, go to BobSesca.com and click the Amazon link, and it takes you right to the front page. And you can't go wrong with your Amazon shopping. Okay, moving along here. I did want to mention one brief thing by way of more or less a refrain to something that we've talked about a few times already on the show, and I just want to repeat this for emphasis, shall we say. I have come a long way on the issue of radical Islam. And knowing at this point that ISIS has taken credit for the dual terror attacks in Brussels, I just wanted to make one thing clear. I certainly don't think that it's necessarily wrong to say that Islam and Sharia and radicalism with ISIS and any other perpetrator of who's responsible for doing something like this in the name of Islam is not only besmirching the religion, but is also connected to that religion as well. And I don't think it's wrong necessarily for liberals to say, to acknowledge that fact, to acknowledge that reality. I fall pretty much in line with Chez at this point, certainly with Bill Maher and Sam Harris, for example. And I still, to this day, scratch my head in terms of what religion is tolerable to the left. Because obviously Christianity, and rightfully so, receives more than its fair share of hectoring from the left. Yes. Am I right?
But,
am I right?
But since Islam is generally practiced by marginalized peoples, the left automatically seeks to defend it.
Okay.
Which I think is nonsense, because I do sort of agree. I very much agree with Sam Harris on this, that the problem is not, anybody who practices Islam as a religion. It's not a problem with every Muslim. Of course not. There are a ton of Muslims out there.
Right.
So to say that they're all horrible is ridiculous.
Yeah.
But there is definitely something wrong with the religion itself as it was originally taught.
Yeah.
Meaning that if you read the Quran and you see what it preaches, there are people in this world who adhere to that strictly, and they are the ones blowing things up.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So if you look at that, then what you're saying is, so maybe you look at that and you say, well, you know what, religion is what you make it. Well, then if you're saying that, then what you're saying is that religion is subject to modernity, to the march of progress.
Yes.
And if you're saying that, then it's not really religion. Then it's kind of a man-made thing. Mm. But look, if you read the Quran, if you read the Hadith, and you see what the teachings of it are and what its edicts are, these people are these people blowing things up. They're people of perfect faith.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
And they're fucking monsters. And by the way, I will say, as somebody who's an atheist, I will say the exact same thing about fundamentalist Christianity.
I mean, and that's just the thing, though. And I think you wouldn't be the only one. You wouldn't be the only person who's left of center to say that Christianity is quite often full of shit. And that's something that is often discussed on the left. That is what I mean, the flying spaghetti monster and all that crap. That is a feature of the left. And, you know, needless to say, going back to what you said about the demographics, you know, Islam is the second largest religion in the world. I mean, there's only 10% more, or actually fewer than 10% more Christians than there are Muslims in the world. So it's not that small or marginalized when you really boil it all down. The fact of the matter is, though, that, again, there's this, I hate to put it in these terms, there's practically an hypocrisy on the left when it comes to criticizing Christianity.
There absolutely is. Hypocrisy is a good word. It's the perfect word.
Versus criticizing Islam. And you know, I think if we're going to be offenders, I think being equal opportunity offenders is probably the more consistent way to go. If we're going to be relentless in criticizing Christianity, I think it's okay to be relentless in criticizing Islam, whether it's radical Islam or whether it's mainstream peaceful Islam. It doesn't matter. You can't separate one from the other. If there is ridiculousness in one religion, there's likely ridiculousness in all of it. And to say that this religion, you can, hands off that religion. Don't touch that religion.
Any faith-based religion, faith-based,
yeah,
it relies on people doing things for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
People doing things based on faith without any evidence whatsoever.
Right.
And that to me is, you know, I hate that. I've written about this many times where I've said, you know what, people who say, well, look, you know what, I just believe this. It's like, you know, it's no harm can come of that just because I believe, you know. It's like, no, that's crap because, you know, don't get me wrong. I'm, again, not saying that all Christians or all practitioners of any religion are bad people. Mm-hmm. But belief informs your actions.
Yeah.
Well, you know? And so you can't just believe something. You can't. It will inform your actions. It will make you do certain things.
And, you know, likewise, there's an equal amount of hypocrisy, I think, on the right, where Christianity is sacred and Islam is the evil empire.
That is a one-to-one comparison. I mean, hearing these people complain about the tenets of Islam when they believe just not only do they believe nonsense in terms of Christianity, just crap, but they also want to see it sort of instilled in all of us. They want to see it basically be, they assume and they insist that it is the official religion of the United States.
Yeah. And how many fucking religious freedom laws have been passed at the state level across the country?
Exactly.
Maybe two dozen. That is an indication that it's not really about religious freedom for conservatives. It's all about Christian freedom.
Of course, that's exactly what it is. If you are a staunch believer in Christianity, if you're, you know, let's say you're a Bible thumping, you know, Pentecostal or evangelical or something like that, you don't, in my mind, to have a legitimate conversation with you, you don't get to criticize Islam. You just don't.
No, because
you believe equally stupid crap.
Well, and that's the ridiculousness of these religious freedom laws in the first place, is that what they do is they end up encompassing all kinds of other terrible things, whether it's in the Bible itself or in the Quran. And there's lots of crazy things in the Quran, too.
Sure.
And if we're going to say, well, you know, you can make an excuse for anything you want to do as long as it's there in the Bible. That's what these religious freedom laws say. So therefore, you can say at the same time that, well, you know, I blew up a subway station full of people. And, I was just practicing Islam.
Yeah.
So I guess that's exercising my religious freedom here.
I think exactly. I think that the problem with the left is that they are so inured to this idea of multiculturalism that they have to be that honestly they need to at least be able to have a conversation, at least be able to say, look, you know what, there is something that is in that all of these actions have in common.
Yeah,
they all have in common.
Right.
And to deny that is ridiculous. So we should, if nothing else, be asking the question, why is this happening? Why is this happening among Muslims? What the hell? What is it about that?
Yeah.
And have at least a logical, rational discussion about it.
Yeah, and let's also be perfectly clear here by saying, too, that, yeah, there are many, many millions of Christians who are perfectly decent people, who aren't proselytizing, they're not condemning anyone, they're not shaming anyone for their lifestyle or for merely being a woman who wants birth control. You know, none of these things are, you know, happening with a good portion of Christians. Likewise, there's a good portion of Muslims who aren't, you know, blowing up airports.
Sure.
You know, that's
absolutely. And ISIS is nuts. Yeah. There's no doubt about it.
So what we talk about when we talk about radical religion is obviously we talk about the extremes. But the extremes are certainly a feature of these religions. I mean, you can't necessarily separate them off into separate and distinct factions. They're a feature. It's like, you know, you can drink a crap load of alcohol and feel really good, but it's going to damage you in some way. You can't separate that out. You can't separate out the hangover from the beverage itself. It just doesn't happen that way. So likewise, you know, if we're talking about radical Islam, and as a liberal, I frankly don't have any trouble saying radical Islam.
Neither do I.
But I think when we talk about radical Islam, there is still the Islam component there. It's not just one thing or the other. There are so many examples on the Christians, certainly not to the extreme of what's happening with ISIS, but certainly there are Christian things happening that are from the radical aspects, the more literal interpretations of the Bible. A lot of these laws that are being passed at the state level, whether it's anti-abortion laws or anti-contraception laws or anti-LGBT laws. I mean, there's a religious aspect that's on the Christian side that is not explosive and dramatic like radical Islam, but there are things being done in the name of Christianity in our own backyards that are almost as damaging. And in an institutionalized sense, it's happening legally.
I agree completely. But it is not the same as the direct violence. Well, I mean, unless you're talking about abortion, killing abortion doctors, It is not done with it as a sort of direct violence, direct brutality and savagery, as we see from Muslims visited on, or you know, radical Muslims visited on people they consider to be. I think that's an important thing to keep in mind, because I love whenever you argue this point. There will always be someone who is very far to the left who says, well, "What about Christianity throughout the centuries?" You know, Christians have done terrible. Yeah, they have.
Yeah.
And if you were talking to me right now during the Inquisition, I would tell you Christianity is the big problem. Yeah. But right now, at this very point in our history, that, you know, radical Islam is a problem. It is an issue.
Yeah, it is. It is. And you know what? Also, you know, I'll go one step further and say that, no, radical Christianity, evangelical fundamentalist Christianity, is also a problem, because while it's not an immediate, like I said before, it's not an immediate explosive death with limbs and destruction, it's more subtle. It's a slow motion series of assassinations. It's, you know, banning abortions at the state level, forcing women into back alleys where they end up having to butcher themselves in order to escape a practically inescapable situation. You know, this is what Christianity wrought. You don't have to go back to the Crusades to indict Christianity. You know what? It's the difference between an African-American with his baggy pants. And I'm playing the Republican stereotype on that. It's like, you know, on one side of the street, you got an African-American and he's wearing sort of urban clothing and so on. And on the other side of the street, you see a guy in a 3-piece suit and a briefcase and a cell phone. Which guy is more fear, like, should instill more fear? Well, if it's
according to Republicans,
it's obviously the black guy. But in a sensible way, if you really look at the long game, the guy in the suit walking down the sidewalk in lower Manhattan
has the potential to do so much more damage.
Yes, absolutely. And it probably has in some way. If you look at the Great Recession, or you look at the poisoning of groundwater, whether it's PG&E or whether it's something like Flint, Michigan. Or I think 20% of the country is like Flint, Michigan right now, all perpetrated by guys with their very serious haircuts, white men with serious haircuts and 3-piece suits who go to church on Sunday. So look, it's not just Islam. It's not just Christianity. The problem is extreme religions just simply across the board. And we can never discount the silent terrorism that's happening among respectable white people, whether they're politicians or people in lower Manhattan or people in corporate boardrooms. It may not be happening in the way that we see it happening in Brussels or San Bernardino or on 9/11, but the destruction that they're wrecking is maybe worse in some macro senses. I mean, look at what precipitated the climate crisis. It's pollution, corruption, it's destruction by industry that has put the entire human race in jeopardy.
Absolutely.
And check out what race the perpetrators are, and what color the perpetrators are, and what religion the perpetrators practice.
Absolutely true. And you also, you know, you have a bunch of Republicans who protect them and who deny that this is happening.
Absolutely.
Florida is going to be parts of Florida are going to be underwater 50 years from now.
Exactly.
If that.
Yeah. And Rick Snyder and Rick Scott will be long gone by the time that happens. And they don't care. They just don't care. All right. We're going to come back and we're going to talk about Alex Jones and, oh my God, who's attacking me now right after this?
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius Bath and Body Products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius. Doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
This is the Bob and Chez Show with Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
And we are back. Thanks for joining us at Patreon.com/Bob and Chez. If you haven't signed up to support the show, click the Patreon link at BobSeska.com. It's just below the logo. You can't miss it. It's easy to find. Help support independent media. Thank you. Thank you for that. Really, really appreciate it. Okay, so let's get into something a little less serious. Alex Jones thinks that the Brussels attack was a false flag, and we might as well talk about this a little bit, because clearly it's not.
Of course it isn't, and Alex Jones is a f***ing crazy person.
Of course he's a crazy person. But you know what I like to do? I like to bait Alex Jones. Because for whatever reason, because of, I guess it's Salon.com and my constant hectoring of Alex Jones on Salon.com, I'm on his radar.
Are you really?
Well, yeah. He's talked about me. In fact, when he said this...
You people are sick.
He was referring specifically to us.
Oh, that's right. Sorry. Keep in mind, my memory only goes back about 10 minutes.
Yeah. Alex Jones doesn't like me or what I have to say about him and his little universe of paranoiacs. But, you know, so that means I want to get... That means I routinely amplify everything I say about him just to piss him off. So here's Alex Jones on the... on what happened in Brussels and Donald Trump.
Donald Trump has shown his geopolitical foxiness.
did anyone expect that coming out of his mouth?
Please, you know what? You have to ISO that. We have to have that from now on. Foxiness.
Foxiness. Go right along with
scum! You people are sick.
Foxiness. I was expecting Donald Trump put on display his... stupidity.
No, not from Alex Jones. No.
Donald Trump showed his foreign policy brilliance. You know, it wasn't that. His foxiness.
Donald Trump has shown his geopolitical foxiness in that he told AIPAC yesterday, just hours before this happened, that NATO has been basically backing ISIS and is no friend of Israel. And that's just true. How astute. Hollande, Merkel. Well,
thank God. That, you know, coming from him.
Right.
I know I can trust it.
Yeah, that's right. And when Donald Trump was asked about ISIS, Donald Trump said, you know, this is a really good looking bunch of people here in this room. I think you're all really smart looking. I like your suit. Nice shoes over there. And your haircut, that's a new haircut, isn't it? That's what he said when asked about ISIS.
Jesus Christ.
France, more than anybody, has been backing Al-Qaeda and now Islamic State. It's the elephant in the room. All over the Middle East, all over North Africa, especially Libya and Syria. And that's what's so frustrating about watching the communist Hollande, the communist Merkel, go, we will stand strong against this terror. We will keep the emergency going and take all your rights and arrest anybody who's right-wing and criticizes Islam. They bring them in, unvetted, they let them attack, and then they take your rights. This is the ultimate false flag.
Mm-hmm. Sure it is. Yeah, and you know, Donald Trump running the country certainly won't arrest people without due process. That'll never happen.
Yeah.
I don't know who the hell he thinks he's supporting.
This man is a f***ing dimwit.
He really, really is.
But he's not, because he's making a fortune.
So... just so you know, NATO, as he says, NATO has a stage of false flag. That's what Brussels is. It's fake.
Of course. Of course it is.
It's a fake attack. Didn't really happen, according to Alex Jones. So all those pictures of limbs and destruction that you see on the news and on the internet today, fake.
Totally fake.
It's all fake. Ask Alex Jones. He knows.
He's got the documents.
Yeah, he's got the documents right here. I'm going to show them to you. I'm going to rattle them around. See? Right there. And I know it says on the top that it's Infowars.com, but you know what? We print some of the things on Infowars. Right?
Just what in the hell does it take? I mean, aside from pandering to this idiot, yeah, because you want his moronic yokel demographic, what exactly does it take to believe a word that this clown says?
It just takes paranoia. I mean, just that's what his entire audience
is. But I don't think that's just it. How many times have we written about this? And I said at one point that it's the point where arrogance and ignorance meet.
Yeah.
It's that little nexus.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Because you're a moron and you know nothing.
Yeah.
But you don't understand that you know nothing. And you think you're brilliant. You think you're onto a secret that no one else knows about.
That's right.
And everybody else, the sheeple, they just don't get it.
Yeah, it's paranoia compensating for lack of education, lack of intelligence. Yeah. If you don't quite know how the world works, everything seems scary. If you can't figure out the dynamics of politics or geopolitical wrangling or government or negotiations between nation states and what happens when radicalism is supported or when dictatorial regimes are upheld for the sake of political expedience. All these things are details that occur on a day-to-day basis that are pretty well written about in books and things like internet. You know, you can find these things online and you can got to educate yourself, but it's a lot easier to go, well, it's a global conspiracy. Everybody's getting together and they're going to turn us all into slaves and prevent us from going to other worlds, traveling through outer space and into other dimensions. And it's the devil is what it is. It's actually, this is what he was saying last week.
It's
Satan, you know, because you're too dumb to understand anything else, so well, might as well go to the most simplistic concept ever devised in the history of humanity, the devil and God fighting it out for you.
Yep. Yeah, that's it exactly.
Jesus Christ. All right, so speaking of things that we wish would end, going to the Democratic side of the presidential campaign.
Oh boy.
Bill Clinton delivered what to me was an obvious gaffe. He didn't mean to say it, and he didn't mean for it to come out the way it did, but he did. All right. And so there's nothing wrong with saying, you know what? Former President Clinton really screwed up at a rally for Hillary Clinton the other day when he said something about the awful legacy of the last 8 years.
Right. And he was talking about Republican obstruction.
He was talking about Republican obstruction, but he wasn't specific. In fact, he never mentioned Republican obstructionism in his remarks. Right. Because, of course, he was doing what Bill Clinton often does, which most of the time results in some form of political brilliance, but then occasionally will result in some sort of unforced error or gaffe.
Yeah.
And so that's what he did. He was off prompter. He was rambling like Bill Clinton tends to do. And he said something about, you know, we don't want to go back to the awful legacy of the last 8 years. And he, of course, as you said, he was referencing Republican obstructionism. That, in hindsight, is pretty clear. But it's really obvious to know that what's going to happen is it's not only going to incite Obama supporters, but it's also going to be fuel for Republicans. And of course, everyone that carried this story yesterday on Monday of this week, it was all Republican publications. It was all conservative websites. And USA Today. That was the one non-Republican, although it is, I think USA Today does lean right in its editorial board. But the fact of the matter is that this was an unforced error that didn't need to happen. And this is my concern about the Clinton campaign. And it's not a major concern, but it's something to keep an eye on, which is that, you know, they do this, especially Bill Clinton, because he does go off prompter and he has had a history of saying things sometimes candidly, sometimes, you know, on the stump that he probably shouldn't say. And sometimes Hillary Clinton does that, too. And she did that over the weekend when she said that, coal miners are going to be out of work and coal mines are going to shut down. And she was lamenting it as a consequence of switching to a green energy economy, a clean energy economy. But she wasn't saying that, oh, I'm going to put these coal miners out of work. But regardless, she wasn't specific enough.
You know what,
turned into a thing.
In this age where everything that every single politician does is being watched and recorded, it's got to suck.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you spend all your time talking. Eventually, you're going to make a mistake. You're going to say something that – and I think that's one of the reasons why I've never really been bothered by – unless a gaffe is indicative of if it's either part of a pattern or it's indicative of how you really think, I just don't see why it's a big deal.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sorry. I don't care. By the way, I don't care whether you're Republican, Democrat, anybody in between. If you say something and it's obvious what you meant and it's, oh, you know, it's just that gotcha shit.
Yeah. Well, it's not, you know what? It's not me saying the gaffe was necessarily wrong. It's just that the news media is just going to pick up on that and run with it. Oh, my God, I can't believe what she just said. And then the Republicans are going to pick it up and run with it. Oh, my God, I can't believe what she just said. Let's make a bunch of commercials about this. You know, Bill Clinton just referred to the Obama presidency as an awful legacy. Holy crap. And so that's what they're going to run with. And it's like, you know, at this point with the Clintons, they've done this for long enough that I think they can display just a little bit more discipline when it comes to off-the-cuff remarks.
And I get it. But again, I feel like I understand where you're coming from totally, and I think you're right. But it's like, man, if they don't screw up once in a while, if politicians in general, people don't screw up once in a while, they just seem like robots.
Yeah.
But I mean, people make mistakes.
But as we've seen, that the news media is stacked against the Clintons.
This is
where what's going to happen is, you know, a few more instances like this, and it'll give enough fuel to people like Chuck Todd or people like Wolf Blitzer or John King, or even in some respects, Jake Tapper, to say, hey, look, the Democrats screw up just as much as the Republicans do. Look, they're all children.
Right.
It's politics as usual. Oh, well. And then they do that shruggy shoulder emoji thing.
Yep.
And that drives me nuts because it's certainly not that way. And that puts an added onus upon the Democrats to behave more like adults. And you know what? Frankly, I've got no problem with that. If there's additional pressure on the Democrats to behave like adults, well, great. Because it's certainly better than the grab-assery happening on the right.
Absolutely.
But suffice to say, you know, I've written many stories about the Democratic campaign for president so far. I would say 9 out of 10 of them have been critical of Bernie Sanders. I write one thing that's just minorly critical. In this case, of not even the candidate, but her husband, Bill Clinton. And it's like I'm taking a giant crap all over women. And it's just like,
did you get responses? Because that's something that I don't like.
Yes, of course, yeah.
Like, the Bernie bots drive me nuts. I think they're fucking crazy. But I do have an issue with how if you criticize Clinton, a lot of times women come out of the woodwork and will say that you're somehow being sexist. Because that's nonsense. You can't have it both ways.
You know, at the risk of sounding like Trump, you will find no bigger feminist who is a man than I am. So, you know, look.
Oh, no, that's not true. I'm totally a bigger fan.
That's right, except for Chez.
Women say that to me all the time.
I know.
You know the best thing about you is you're such a feminist.
The Postmortem Show is next. Stick around. It's at patreon.com/Bob and Chez. We'll see you over there. If not, we'll see you on Thursday on the free show. Take care, folks. Bye-bye.